Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you this morning. This is Carl White here. Can We Be Real is the radio station. And today we're in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. Superstorm Sandy has ravaged the East Coast and is continuing to dump 2 to 3 feet of snow in the West Virginia mountains, all kind of water down Wall Street, New York. People have lost lives, and so many things are going on just because of this storm. And my prayers go out to those who are affected and dealing with the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. And many people, they'll get on and they'll pontificate and talk about who is responsible and such, and whether it was Mother Nature or an act of God or a result of our misuse of the earth. And this is yet to be decided, and it's up to us to decide on, you know, how we're going to place this on people or what's going to happen about it. But one thing it's definitely done, it has broke down barriers between people. We have become so isolated and insulated and competitive among each other that the care and the concern and the love and the consideration, it leaves one to say, where is the love? And so it takes a storm like this to bring us all together, to bring us to a common enemy, an enemy who is larger than life, an enemy that often costs us some life. And it is not an easy thing to deal with. It's often heart-wrenching. It's trouble. It's terrible times. It's going through the struggle of life. And so our hearts, our resources, our time, our energy, we need to share those with those who have lost lives, those who have lost possessions, those who are devastated, those who may be homeless, and those who are barely existing in poverty. And that's what this storm has done, is given both the rich and the poor a common enemy. And hopefully, and we can see it on TV, it's happening right now, the bridges are breaking down, the barriers between people, to begin the process of working together on the common good and equity for all people. And we can stop all this division based on red and blue ideology and racism and gender and sexuality and all of these things that divide us. Because when Superstorm Sandy shows up, when you don't have any power, it doesn't matter about whether you're Republican or Democrat, white, black, red, or brown, or yellow. It doesn't even matter. What matters is, do you have some batteries? Do you have some heat? Can I come and stay with you? Do you have some way to help me get through this thing? And so without love, I'm a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. And we the people of this United States, we the people of this world, we actualize God. We give God a face. We give God hands. We give God feet. We give God our blood, our sweat, and our tears when we help each other, when we make a difference in our lives. The problem is that we as a nation have become competitive and individualistic in a manner that we're pushing other people down like crabs in a barrel. Soon as one person gets to the top, the other crab will pull them down. And the problem is that we're so used to loving things and using people. But we're not called to love things. We find out in Superstorm Sandy, when you've got to leave, you leave all that stuff, the big screen, the furniture, and you grab the little stuff that's important, your papers, maybe a few photo albums, your phone, your charger, your credit cards, your cash money, and these things that can make a little difference and help you get through in the storm. And so the key to it is for us to continue to look at this thing and work. And knowing that there's nothing that comes against us that is going to be harder than us coming together and working together. Because when we have a common enemy like Superstorm Sandy, we can begin the process of working together on the common good and provide a sense of well-being, a return to normalcy for all people. And we need to stop this division based on red and blue ideologies and come to get to the point where we love people and use things. Oh, somebody may say that's sentimental and all those kind of things. But when you get down and out, when you get to a point where you don't have anyone to help you, anyone to make a difference in your life, then you will look out and reach out, and you don't care if it's a red hand, a dark hand, a blue hand, a sky blue hand. You're going to care for those who are doing something for you to help you. And what we need is a little more love. Have a listen as we continue in our process.
Yo, what the world needs is more love today, and that's the only way attitudes will change. We need love, and yo, that's a fact. Send a little love out and you get it right back.
Like the magic of a child's smile. It's like a rainbow after the storm. I just saw a picture of a rainbow over Manhattan where one person is saying that this is God smiling again through the tears and through the raindrops in order to reflect what we have going on in our life, some of the joy, the beauty, and the color. And even as Dr. King had said, one of his less popular statements is that even as religion, we must be concerned about human social conditions. And we have to deal with both earth and heaven, both time and eternity. And religion, it operates not only on the vertical plane, but on a horizontal plane as well. And it seeks not only to integrate humans with God, but to integrate humans with each other and with each person within themselves. And so this means at the bottom that the gospel is the good news. It's a two-way road. And so on the one hand, we can't just beat down people and expect them to conform to our way of doing things because we say that's popular with us or we promote that. On the other hand, with the gospel, it seeks to unite people with God. It seeks to change the environmental conditions so that our souls will have to have a chance to live after it's been changed. And any religion that professes to be concerned with the souls of men and women and is not concerned with the slums that damn them and the economic conditions that strangle them and the social conditions that cripple them is a dry-ass-dust religion. And such a religion is the kind that the Marxists like to see. They call it the opiate of the people. And so we have to be able to stand up, to be the person of integrity, and to help those that need help in the midst of these things. We don't want to get caught in the trap of saying, well, we never did it like that before. And the thing is that if we're doing the same thing today as we did yesterday, then we're going to have the same results. And that's the definition of insanity. We can't continue to take all of the resources and put it into war, but there's no money for the poor. We take and buy smart bombs, but we have dumb situations where people are struggling, where you've got a minimum wage of a person working at 7 or 8 or 9 or even at the most $10 an hour, work all day long. And by the time they pay their little taxes that come out the money and work all 8 hours, you have enough money to buy a tank of gas. That is wrong. That is not right. I am in my 50s, and there's no way that when I was coming up in my 20s that I had a job that would take all of my money just to fill up the tank. And so we have to do something that's more equitable to help people to move forward and to be concerned for the least of these. Everybody's talking about the middle class and above, but the smaller person, the person that can't afford to leave the disaster area, the person that can't afford to get an education, or once they get an education, they can't get a job, and the stacks of money that have been piled up in the corporate coffers, and they aren't investing in America. They're not investing in the people. The thing is that we have to reinvest in our people and not to be so concerned about the profit motive and get to the thing where we're concerned more about people. Because when I was young, we could get a job, you could get an apartment, you could buy a little car, and you could make your way through life. You could actually climb a ladder and move forward. And so the thing is that, yeah, we say we can't afford it, but somehow we just built a brand new ship that is an amphibious ship. It's a huge warship, and it cost over $2.5 billion. But the thing is that there's always money for war, but there's not much money for the poor. And that's the message for the day, that even as we have a superstorm that brings us to our knees and breaks us down to the point where we have to come into our own being. And the final thoughts for the day, we've got my brother on the phone. You've got 1 minute to say, what would you say to the people? Even as we come out of this situation, the superstorm, you've got 1 minute.
I would tell, hey, good morning, my brother.
God bless you.
Good to hear from you. God bless you in what you do. This is Brother Joseph calling from Los Angeles. I would say to the people, just stand still and know that God is God. And know sometimes it will take calamity such as a storm to bring us back to our humanity. And so we can just feel the touch of people and know that, you know, in the midst of a society and a country that has so much, least we forget those who have nothing. And in this nothingness, God always shows up and he shows out. So stand still and know that God is God. And be encouraged.
That is the key to it today. I thank you, my brother, for calling in and letting us hear your word to confirm. You didn't even hear what I said, but it confirmed all what I said, is that we're a wealthy couple, a country, and we have to look out for the least of these. And we need to have a little more love and compassion and care and concern. The profit motive doesn't matter. If you've got money and you don't have this day, you don't have the time, you don't have the effort. So live together, work together, make this world a better place. We can do it together if we just get over what is dividing us. And look at a superstorm will bring us together. This is Help Somebody. You can find me on Facebook at Help Somebody or follow me on Twitter. I'm Help Somebody. Look for me on